Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alberton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
So grab your copy of God's Word and go with me to Luke 18. I was going through the parables of Jesus canonically, in other words, as they happen in the Bible, right? If you're just reading from left to right, I was going through them in that way. That's what we call canonical order, okay? Canon, Bible, order. But the parable that I had scheduled for tonight, I said, you know, it doesn't fit with where we're at this week. And so I said, is there a parable that does? And God has blessed us with a parable that is really fitting for where we're at this week. Here in Luke 18. Former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, he once wrote this. He said, "Perseverance is the hard work you do after you get tired of doing the hard work you already did." Isn't that true? Have you found that to be true? Right, that's what perseverance is. It's that second wave. It's not the first wave. The first wave sometimes easy. I was meeting with some pastors today, and we got to talking about it's not the first mountain you take, it's the second mountain you take. And sometimes there's that valley between, all right? It's that second wave that really matters. A Japanese proverb captures it like this. It says, fall seven times and stand up eight. But you know, as I think about that, what about the eighth, the ninth, the tenth time? What about when it feels like you've done the hard work after you've done the hard work, and yet there's still more hard work to do? Do you ever feel like giving up? Do you ever feel like, yeah? Do you ever feel like in your prayer life, you have prayed about this? I mean, whatever it is that you're facing, whether it's that thorn in your flesh, or it's that person in your life, or it's that situation, or it's that disease, or it's that spiritual condition, or it's that whatever. You have prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed, and it just feels like your prayers are hitting the ceiling, or if they're getting past the ceiling, they're falling on deaf ears. Nothing seems to be budging because you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed some more, but nothing seems to be happening. Maybe as you fasted this week, you've picked up burdens that you've had in the past, maybe for people or situations. And you've prayed for them so many times, maybe even this week it's been a constant refrain on your heart. So many times you can't count how many times you've prayed it, and yet heaven seems silent. Does God have a word for us in that situation? Does God have a pep talk for us? We all need pep talks sometimes, right? And here in this passage, right, he actually does. It's found right here in Luke 18. Now, the thing I like about Luke is Luke tends to help us with these parables. He doesn't just throw them out there, kind of like Matthew and Mark and John do sometimes, it seems. But he gives us some context. He basically says, here's what you should look for in this parable that I'm about to communicate to you from Jesus. And so he does that. He gives us a clue as to why Jesus is telling whatever parable he's telling. But we see here in Luke 18:1, he gives us what to be looking for here. And Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. I really appreciate him saying that because it's so easy sometimes to misunderstand what the parable's about. And here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Luke says, hey, dummy. That's just me. He doesn't say it to y'all. Hey, dummy. Here's what you need to look for in this moment, right? And that's big. That's a big help to us, okay? Jesus here is giving us the pep talk we need, especially here in the middle of our fasting week. Don't give up. Fast and pray. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't, as it says here, lose heart. So we're going to look here at our passage. Would somebody read Luke 18, verse 2 through 8 for us tonight? Luke 18, 2 through 8. Who'd read that loudly and proudly for us? Yes, sir. Thanks, Danny. Go.
He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow. bothering me, I will give her justice, that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and he will not give God justice to his elect who cry out day and night. Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will not. He will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?
All right, let's pray together. Lord, as we look at this parable, it has a message for us. Right now, Wednesday, August 14, 2019. And I pray that you'd help us to see it, to apply it. Father, not just in the season of consecration as we are as a church this week focusing in on that. Father, but in life in general. I pray that we would be a people of prayer, of unceasing prayer, and of persistent prayer. And so God, help us to do that. Help this parable, Lord, tonight to mold and make us into that people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Luke tells us that Jesus wants us to always pray and not lose heart. So here's tonight's takeaway. The main thing I want you to grasp onto this morning or this evening is be persistent. We're going to go with some P's here. Be persistent in putting your petitions before God through prayer. I mean, it's a simple takeaway, right? Be persistent in putting your petitions before God through prayer. And we're going to look at two things tonight before we actually get to praying, because we're going to pray tonight. So just a devotion tonight, just a devotional tonight before we get into our prayer time, okay? First is this, if you think about being persistent, right? When we think about persistence, why is persistence so important when it comes to our prayer life? And the first thing we see is that persistence is effective for getting what is right and good in an unrighteous world. All right? Persistence is effective for getting what is right and good in this unrighteous world. I mean, think about so many, if we were to walk into Barnes & Noble tonight or to pull up Amazon right now, I mean, there would be bukus of books all about persevering, keep going, don't give up, coaching books, things like that. And the truth of the matter is, as we see right here in the Bible, persistence does indeed pay off, right? We need to get that in our own spirit, right? It does pay off. If at first you don't succeed, try and try again, right? Don't take no for an answer. Those of you who are business people, you know, just imagine if you took no for an answer the first time you went in to make that sales pitch, you know? Just think about you who are teachers. The first time you try to give a lesson and that kid says no, right? I don't want to hear that. I don't want to learn that. I can't understand that. We can't take no for an answer, all right? Keep going back until you get what you want. And Jesus illustrates this truth here in this parable. So here in this fictitious city, we have this fictitious judge who is a bear, man. He is an absolute bear. He doesn't fear God. He doesn't respect man. I mean, this dude is the epitome of an arrogant, power-tripping jerk. That's what he is. He has neither love nor compassion for people. He has neither fear nor respect for anybody. And he's going to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. And in this fictitious town, under the jurisdiction of this fictitious judge, is this fictitious widow who has a grievance, who's been wronged. And you can just picture in your mind grandma, right? This little sweet lady. But boy, when you cross her, when you do her wrong, she gets fired up, right? Granny gets her gun, or whatever you want to talk about there, right? I mean, you don't mess with granny, all right? And so there's this widow here who's been wronged. And the judge keeps turning her away. She keeps going to the judge, and the judge keeps turning her away. He keeps putting her off. But when she gets knocked down the seventh time, she got back up on the eighth and just kept persistently coming back to the judge. Judge, give me justice. Give me justice. Give me justice, judge. She wouldn't take no for an answer, right? When at first she didn't succeed, she tried and she tried again. And eventually, because of her persistence, the judge relented. He gave in. Look at verse 4 and 5. Luke 18, verse 4 and 5. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. It's interesting here. He was a man of zero principle, of zero morality. He didn't do this because of some higher principle that she was actually right, that this was actually justice. That didn't motivate him to move for this widow. He was motivated simply by his own selfishness that he couldn't stand it anymore. He didn't want to see her anymore. He was tired of hearing her pleas and her commands and all the things that she was coming before him and doing. She was beating him down, just continually coming, and he couldn't stand it any longer. All right, he eventually said, I've had enough. Even though I'm corrupt, I'm going to give her what's right. So you see, that's what persistence does. It gains victory by never giving up, all right? It does. When you never give up, you eventually can gain victory. Persistence is effective for getting what is right and good in this unrighteous world. You should never give up. If you're chasing what's right and good, don't ever give up. And history is full of examples we could point to how persistence pays off. For instance, NASA, 20 failures in its 28 attempts to send rockets to space. Henry Ford, his early businesses, they failed. Left him broke 5 times before he founded Ford Motor Company. Walt Disney, he went bankrupt after failing at several businesses. He was even fired from a newspaper because they told him that he had no imagination and lacked good ideas. I mean, just this Walt Disney, right? Albert Einstein was told that he was mentally handicapped before he came what he was. Dr. Seuss, his first book was rejected 27 times by 27 publishers before his first book was ever accepted. Vincent van Gogh, just a couple more examples. He sold only one painting in his lifetime. And today, if you had a Vincent van Gogh, it would be worth millions. J.K. Rowling, more of a modern example. J.K. Rowling, she was nearly penniless, severely depressed, divorced, a single mom who went to school while writing Harry Potter. All right. And so you see, guys, it's how perseverance pays off. But that's not just true in history in general, but the Bible history in particular, right? We see passages, right? Think about Job, who his wife said, just curse God and die. Give up, Job. But he wouldn't do it. He would not. He persevered through not just the heartbreak and not just the physical things, but then he had to come and listen to his buddies telling him about how it was all Job's fault and all the things that he had to endure, and then God had to stand there and correct him and all the things that happened there. But Job never gave up. You hear about the patience of Job. Well, we could change that word to the persistence of Job. He never gave up. Or think about the Apostle Paul. In his life, man, you think about a guy who could have given up umpteen times. Shipwrecked, imprisoned, flogged, exposed to death time and time again. He received 39 lashes 5 times. Beaten with rods 3 times. Pelted with stones, left for dead. Shipwrecked 3 times. But he never gave up. He persisted on. And we've got to have that in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Think about Jesus. On the way to the cross, never giving up, taking every step, every lash, every nail, every insult, every slur, yet at no point did he give up and call in the angels. He continued in perseverance. You have to understand, guys, in life, perseverance is effective for getting what is right and good in this unrighteous world. So are you chasing after something that's right and good? Then don't ever quit. But tonight, God wants you to understand that if persistence is effective for getting what is right and good in this unrighteous world, then number two, how much more does persistence pay off in getting what is right and good from our righteous God, not something that we in our own power think we can bring about, but by the power of God. Maybe it's that big thing that is way bigger than we could ever do, right? You see, Jesus is making a comparison here. Here is this awful judge. He's terrible. This unrighteous judge who wouldn't spit on you if you were on fire. And if persistence pays off with that guy, how much more does persistence pay off with our great God, our righteous God? And here is our God in comparison to that judge. He didn't care a lick about that widow. But we have a God who loves us with no end. He's going to give us what's right and good, okay? So don't give up. Don't lose heart. Look at verse 18, or Luke 18, verse 7. Verse 7, you know, Jesus says, "And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them?" We are God's elect, as it says here. He has fixed his unrelenting love on us. That's what that word means, right? People get all tore up over that word, all right? But God uses it to communicate to us his undying commitment to us, right? His love, his assurance, his security, his hope. It's to make us say that God will not forsake us. We are his, and he will never let us go. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Of course he'll give justice to those whom he's fixed his love on. Will he delay long over his elect? No way. It won't be long. It's going to seem long. Right, just like we said, Pearl said, you know, checking the clock. Oh, is it supper time yet? We're doing this lunch and breakfast thing here. Is it supper yet? You know, and that's sort of how I felt sometimes too this week. So sometimes for us, it seems so long. But with God, it's in his timing, right? He can't wait to bless you with all good things when the time is right. And that's the key, right? When the time is right. And when the time is right, you will speedily get all that is right and good. Just don't give up crying out to him day and night. Always pray. Don't lose heart. He hears our prayers. They're collected in heaven, Revelation chapter 5 says. Our prayers are collected in heaven. And soon and very soon, God will act. You look at the last verse of our passage here. Jesus says this, verse 8, "I tell you, he'll give justice. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Eastwood, is there faith persevering? Is there a people here who will pray and not lose heart? I pray that we would. Here's my final prayer tonight before we move into a season of prayer. May you never give up on praying until Jesus' return renders prayer null and void. Now think about that for just a moment. There was a time for the temple and the sacrifices and all that. It's now null and void, right? We don't need a temple anymore. The sacrifice has been laid. It's been made. And one day when Jesus comes back, there will be no need for praying to heaven because heaven will be here. One day, prayer will be nullified. But don't give up until that day.
Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and he stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that he is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what he has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins. Turn from them and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you, and I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.